If you are able, please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Gospel according to John. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whosoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said, "It had thundered." Others said, "An angel had spoken to him." Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for the judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The Gospel of the Lord.
Please have a seat. For those of you wondering who this bootleg Jesus from The Chosen is, you can laugh about that. That's okay. My name is Joash Thomas, and what a joy it is to get to be back with you, West Side Kings. Now, I know that many of you haven't seen me in a couple of years, but I want you to hear my heart on this. Before I say anything else this morning, this church means a lot to me. It means a lot to me. You know, there are people and leaders in this church who have literally encouraged me in some of the darkest seasons in my life over the last couple of years. Some of the darkest seasons in a ministry the last couple of years. There are people at this church who've encouraged me in ways that I can't even begin to describe. And I'm actually now in the process of pursuing discernment for ordination in the same order and diocese as David. And it's just been a joy to journey with so many others here at Westside Kings who are journeying with me in that too. So that's been special too. And that's just personally. I mean, if I were to speak as an IJMer, which I am this morning, we'd probably be here all day because some of our most precious champions here in Calgary call this church their home. So thank you for being a part of this inspiring church community, and thank you for partnering with us at International Justice Mission. Yeah. You know, when I tell people that I was born and raised in India, they usually think my childhood looked like this because of Slumdog Millionaire. But my childhood actually looked more like this. And this is actually the neighborhood that my family lived in before we moved to the U.S. So naturally, moving to America was a bit of a downgrade for us. That's right. My family has been blessed. And it's these blessings that compel me to do the work that I do with IJM, an incredible organization that your church now partners with. So a few months ago, I got to lead a team of Canadian pastors and denominational leaders on a vision trip to one of our IJM offices in the Philippines. You see, we at IJM don't do mission trips. We do vision trips because our model is a very decolonized model where we empower local leaders to find local solutions to the problems of violence in their communities. So we don't tell our Canadian partners, come and do. We tell our Canadian partners, come and see what God is doing in the Philippines. Through our local partners, through our law enforcement, government partners, our church partners, through our team there, and yes, through your generosity as Canadians. And that's my invitation for us this morning here in Calgary. Come and see what God is doing all over the world through your partnership with us. So toward the end of my trip to the Philippines, we had the chance to meet with a group of young survivor leaders. In fact, we met with the same group of survivor leaders that you just heard singing on the screen a few moments ago. And as soon as we walked in, they started leading us in worship. And they started singing the song that you just heard called Jesus Strong and Kind, where they sang the words, Jesus said, if I am lost, he will come to me. Let that sink in for a moment. Jesus said, if I am lost, he will come to me. You know, these survivors then went on to share their stories with us, how they were once lost to the darkness of the online sexual exploitation of children. This horrific crime where children are forced in front of cameras and abused online by Western perpetrators for as little as $50 an hour in ways that I'm not even going to begin to describe in church this morning. This crime so dark that the youngest child our teams have ever helped rescue was 2 months old. This crime so evil that Canada ranks in the top 4 countries in the world that's fueling the demand for this crime. And this crime so prevalent that recent studies show us that 500,000 Filipino children, that's 1 in 100 Filipino children, are abused in this way online at this very moment. They're lost to this crime. But then the survivor leaders went on to share how Jesus found them through an IJM team of lawyers, social workers, investigators, church partners, working hard with Philippines law enforcement to find them, backed by partners here in Canada, literally funding the resources needed to go and rescue these children, to go and find these children. All of this was mind-blowing. But when it was my turn to ask a question, I found myself saying, hold up a second. Can we talk about your faith a little bit? Because we're a group of pastors and theologians and denominational leaders from Canada. And I actually think that we can learn something from you as survivors of this oppression. Tell us about what it's like for you to walk with Jesus. Now, in hindsight, it was a bit awkward for me to say this because there are a few partners on this trip who are complementarian pastors. But even these complementarian pastors were like, no, seriously though, Tell us about your experience finding Jesus. Tell us about your faith, if that's okay with you. We'd love to learn more about Jesus from your eyes, and your lived experiences. In our scripture reading today, we see a bunch of Greeks looking for Jesus. Now, Greek people were people outside the Jewish religion, people outside the covenant community of God at that time. People looked down upon as impure or unclean by Jewish society, just like many religions and societies today look down upon trafficking survivors as impure or unclean. And these Greeks in John chapter 12, verse 20, come to Jesus. They come to look for Jesus. In verse 21, they go to Philip, and they say to Philip, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Now, naturally, Philip doesn't know what to do in the situation. This is the kind of stuff that they don't train you for in seminary. Is the grace of Jesus really for these outsiders? In verse 22, we see Philip going and telling Andrew. And obviously, Andrew doesn't know what to do either because he went to the same rabbi school. So Andrew and Philip go and tell Jesus. And here's Jesus' response in verse 23. Jesus says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it. Those who hate their life in this world, who love the ways of Jesus more than they love the ways of this world, will keep their life for eternal life." Jesus goes on to say, "Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also." Where I am, there will my servant be also. You see, so many Western Christians today are leaving the church because they don't feel like they see Jesus in the church today. They don't feel the presence of God in the church. Or they don't see the church engaged in some of the struggles against injustice in our lifetime. So many Western Christians end up leaving the church while asking the question, where is God? And where is God in the face of injustice? Now, I don't claim to know much about life, but I do know this. Because here's what I've learned beyond the shadow of a doubt, working with IJM and our church partners all over the world over the past decade. And that's this. There are two places you can count on experiencing the real presence of Jesus. Two places you can count on experiencing the real presence of Jesus. At the table and on the margins. The table and the margins. My sermon today is called From the Table to the Margins. From the Table to the Margins. Jesus said, "Where I am, there will my servant be also." Jesus is at the table. His real presence is at the table. This is why when you and I are served the Eucharist in a bit, we're told the body of Christ broken for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. I love something that David often says. He says, "You may come here one Sunday and not like the worship. You may come here one Sunday and not like the sermon, like maybe today. But here's the thing. When you participate in the Eucharist at the table, you will encounter the real presence of Jesus. And I am excited to encounter Jesus with you at the table this morning. I've been looking forward to it all week. But Jesus isn't just at the table. He's also on the margins. He's on the margins too. This is why when Jesus says, blessed are the poor, he doesn't just mean that the poor will be blessed. He also means that people who are poor are already blessed because God is on their side, right next to them, putting his arm around them. And because Jesus is already on the margins, if we have the eyes to see him there. Pastor Munther Ishaq is a Palestinian evangelical pastor. And here's the nativity scene at his church this past Christmas. I want you to just take this in for a moment. He also went on to say this. He said, if Jesus were born today, he'd be born under the rubble in Gaza. If Jesus were born today, he'd be born under the rubble in Gaza. Now, I know that this picture, this imagery of Jesus can be deeply uncomfortable for many of our Western sensibilities. We're not used to seeing Jesus like this. We're used to seeing this happy-go-lucky version of Jesus on Hallmark cards every Christmas. Here's what I want us to understand. The people experiencing physical violence and oppression right now, this Jesus is good news. To children under the rubble in Ukraine and Gaza right now, this Jesus is good news. To my friend Ruby, who I just got to speak with at a Vancouver church just a few months ago, who cried out in captivity one night, God, if you're real, get me out of here. God, if you're real, get me out of here. And the very next morning was rescued by IJM staff and local police. This Jesus is good news. Because in this Jesus, they see a suffering Savior who entered into the world and experienced great marginalization and suffering himself. Because Jesus knows what it's like to be a victim of violence. Jesus knows what it's like to be racially discriminated against. Jesus knows what it's like to be a refugee fleeing violence. Jesus knows what it's like to be wrongly convicted and executed by corrupt government authorities. And just like he's present at the table, Jesus is physically present. He's physically present with people on the margins. The question isn't whether or not Jesus is on the margins. The question is whether or not you and I have the eyes to see Jesus on the margins. Because Jesus says, where I am, there will my servant be also. So here's a question for us this morning. Are we physically present where Jesus is present? Are we physically present where Jesus is present? We're all going to be present at the table this morning. And I hope you bring your full self to the table. But the beauty of the Christian faith is that we're not just meant to stay at the table. We're meant to go from the table to the margins. From the table to the margins. Now, hear me on what I'm not saying here. I am not saying that we need to be at the table so that we take Jesus from the table to the margins. Jesus is already on the margins. We don't take Jesus there. No. I am saying that we need to be at the table so that we can cultivate the eyes to see Jesus when we go to the margins. And so that we can cultivate the heart to join Jesus on the margins by standing in solidarity with people in oppression. But here's something else that we're reminded of when we're at the table receiving the body of Christ broken for us. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. In Jesus' words, those who love their life lose it. Those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. We receive the body of Christ broken for us so that we can embody the body of Christ broken for the world. Let me say that again. We receive the body of Christ broken for us so that we can be the body of Christ broken for the world. Because we, the church, are the body of Christ. And the body of Christ was always meant to be broken for the world as an act of voluntary sacrifice. Jesus gave himself freely for us so that we can give ourselves freely for the world that he loves so much. Jesus subjected himself to multiple forms of marginalization so that we can do the same towards our marginalized neighbors. And participating at the table is our reminder every single week to be the body of Christ to the margins. You know, St. Teresa of Avila once said this. She said, "Christ has no body on earth but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands. Yours are the feet. You are his hands. You are his body." Are we being the body of Christ here on earth after we gather at the table? Are we embodying the body of Christ broken for us to this world that God has placed us in? You know, as I think back to my experience of Jesus on the margins in the Philippines that morning, through these survivor leaders, here's what keeps coming back to my mind. The voices of these survivor leaders singing, "Jesus said, if I am lost, he will come to me. Jesus said, if I am lost, he will come to me." You see, when these survivor leaders were singing these words, they weren't just declaring a past reality. They weren't just declaring a future reality. They were also declaring their present reality. That when they were lost to the darkness of online sexual exploitation, Jesus came to them through his body, the church. Now, when these children were lost to the online sexual exploitation of children, there were people here at Westside Kings and at churches all across Canada literally funding their rescue as monthly freedom partners. Now, when my friend Ruby was lost to online sexual exploitation, and when she cried out to God to come and rescue her, Jesus came to her through his body, the church. The body of Christ broken for them. The body of Christ, the church, representing Jesus coming after. Here's what I find beautiful about the table. It's this picture of Jesus breaking himself for us, for our healing, and then through our healing, for the healing of the world. Jesus giving of himself freely for the healing of this world. Are we embodying Jesus and giving of ourselves for the healing this world? Are we dying to ourselves for the healing of this world? We're in a season of Lent right now, and Lent is about giving up our comforts, our rights, our privileges for the healing of this world. You see, in a Western world that's obsessed with fighting for my rights, my comforts, my privileges, we're supposed to be the voice crying out in the wilderness, shouting, "Take my rights, take my comforts, take my privileges for the healing of this world." Because this is what it means to embody the body of Christ broken for the healing of this world? Are we living our lives in such a way that costs us something, but is healing to the world? Now, if I were to ask the question, who here cares about justice? I get the sense that every single hand would go up. So I'm not going to ask that. Instead, I'm going to go to the next level. I'm going to ask you another question. Is seeking justice actually costing you something? Does seeking justice actually involve some element of taking up your cross and dying to yourself every day? Do you love your neighbor enough to hate the comforts and luxuries of your own life? Or do you love your neighbor just enough that you'll seek justice for them as long as it doesn't actually cost you a thing? Westside Kings, I know that you already know this, but let me say this again. So many Western Christians say that we care about justice as long as it doesn't cost them anything. As so many of us say we care about justice as long as we don't have to give anything up. It's like Jesus' encounter with the rich young ruler who believed in Jesus but walked away discouraged because he had too much wealth and too much power to lose by following Jesus. Friends, I know this may sound harsh, but I know you can handle this, so I'm going to say this anyway. Christians who say that they care about justice without justice actually costing them anything, aren't actually serious about following Jesus. Because justice, Jesus's way, will cost you something. Always. In fact, it may even cost you everything. Those who love their life lose it. And those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So as you think about how to respond to what you've heard this morning, here's the first way that I want you to respond. I want you to join your church at the table and on the margins. At the table and on the margins. Now, I don't say this lightly, but as an outsider who's been regularly tuning into your services from Toronto for a few years now, as an outsider who serves the Canadian and North American church at large, I get the sense that the Holy Spirit is doing something beautiful here at Westside Kings right now. I get the sense that the Holy Spirit is doing a beautiful work of renewal here, renewal that's centered around Jesus at the table. In fact, just this week, Thursday night, I was at the Word and Table service with many of you. And it was just this profoundly beautiful experience of experiencing Jesus together at the table. I want to challenge you to jump in wholeheartedly into this work of renewal here, whatever that looks like for you and your family. Because unless we become a people of the table, we will not be a people on the margins. Because unless we learn to experience Jesus at the table, we will not know how to experience Jesus on the margins. Here's the second way I want you to respond. I want you to join IJM in prioritizing justice in such a way that has a cost to you. Now, I'm not asking you to give up your career to serve your marginalized neighbors, although some of us may be called to do that. I'm not asking you to sell everything you have to prioritize justice, although some of us may be called to do that. I'm going to ask you to respond by doing something that I think all of us here can do, and that's to jump in with us as a Freedom Partner. Again, you can do that after the service. We'll have the QR code up after the service on the screens. My colleagues and I will be at the IJM table on your way out. We'd love to see you and help you get signed up there. Or you can go to ijm.ca/Westside Kings, and you can sign up as a Freedom Partner there as well. Because here's the reality. There are IJM teams in the field right now, like the Philippines is 12 hours ahead of us, right now, who know exactly where these children are being held. They know exactly how to get them out and how to restore them to the life that God always intended for them. They just need our resources, because the resources are here in the West for historic reasons. You see, one of the reasons why I'm excited about our partnership, whether it's you and your family as Freedom Partners or your partnership through your church with IJM, is because it doesn't take a ton of investment in IJM's work to see a return. Take, for example, the crime of child sex trafficking. There was one city in the Philippines that I got to visit where IJM reduced child sex trafficking by 86%. 86%. And it only took 100 arrests and 500 rescue operations to do that. Again, an 86% drop in child sex trafficking, taking 500 rescue operations. Your church has already funded two over this past weekend, and we'll fund more with many of you jumping in as Freedom Partners. And one rescue operation only costs $10,000. That's it. We can do this. We can do this, church. Because unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit, just like the body of Christ, broken for us. On behalf of your brothers and sisters who are free because of you being a part of this church, on behalf of your brothers and sisters who will be free because of you joining us as a Freedom Partner today, thank you for your partnership with us.